second hour, Darren Donican, Chase. You just made the list coming up at noon. Wow. Jeez, I wonder. Anybody got anything for You Just Made the List? I don't know. This one will be difficult this week or not. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, final hour to get you ready for pick six following Lee. A lot more things on tap. First, we talk to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Titans fall 34-17 again to the Colts at home. Now 5-14 overall since they've been in Nashville to Indy here in Nashville. And Terry now joins us. Terry, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Hoping I have better luck with you guys than I did on the Zoom call.
Let's just get down to the core of what, before we get any further with this, we need to know what happened in the presser today. Let's get down to the bottom of it. It was not your best.
We're not trying to second guess.
No, just what was, it was not your best.
Well done.
Press conference moment. So what happened?
What happened? K-Pussle.
Okay. Here's what happened. I'm taking my daughter's car for an oil change, so I've got the hands-free device on through the radio while the conference call is playing. And all I got to do, I got the phone set, in the safe driving mode, where all I got to do is reach over, tap it, and it says tap to speak. I hit tap to speak, and nothing comes out. And I'm like, what the heck? So I'm blaming it on technology. My lack of technology expertise is probably what it is.
So you are admitting total fault, that it was on your end.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, the phone was, through the Bluetooth, picking up the, and was broadcasting through the speakers, the press conference and all, like it's supposed to. But then when I hit the button to speak, silence. They couldn't hear anything.
Do you feel like moving forward you need to be better?
I do.
Better at that?
Yes, I feel like the Titans special teams unit. Moving forward, I need to be better.
Do you think you need to be coached better?
Yes.
You need a technology coach.
Okay. So play better, coach better.
Yes. How the Yankees at one time had a tranquility coach for all the craziness that went on there in the Billy Martin era. I need a technology coach.
Okay, let's work on that. Let's work on that.
Coach better, play better. It's become kind of the go-to line for Mike Vrabel every week. It's, if the same problems can continue, to me, it's just words. It's beginning just to be very, very hollow. And by the way, if you're not playing better and it's the same person, then why would you just keep saying that over and over again? Let's just start with the kicker. I mean, he's missed 8 times. Every time he comes out there, everybody has the same feeling. It's cross your fingers, cross your toes. Oh, my gosh, what's going to happen this time? He's the worst kicker in the league statistically. It's not even close. And it's been a train wreck all year. Yet the head coach says you got to play better. And his play hasn't gotten better. So what gives on the kicking front? I mean, how can they possibly keep doing this all season with Steven Gostkowski?
Well, we saw it last year. The kicking was awful. Ryan Succop was hurt, wasn't ready when he came back. And then they paraded through Cairo Santos and Cody Parkey and Greg Joseph. They went through like 4 or 5 different kickers last year. And none with very good results. And, when you look at it, they thought they had solved this by signing Steven Gostkowski, who was one of the most accurate kickers in league history before this season. But he was coming off of hip surgery. He's, been erratic. The weird thing is that between 40 and 49 yards is where most of his problems have been. He's 2 of 7. 2 of 7. I mean, there are high school kickers out there that can go 2 of 7 from between 40 and 49 yards. I don't understand what's going on. The thing that if I were the Titans, and maybe they're already doing this, because had I been able to get in and get a second question, I had to have Robbie ask mine because I couldn't get through. But had I been able to ask a second question, I was going to ask, are they bringing in any outside kicking guru or anything like that? When a baseball player, when a hitter's in a slump or a pitcher's, not doing well, sometimes they'll bring an outside set of eyes in that will just analyze and say, okay, there's a mechanical flaw here, or you're dropping your hands, or you're pulling your head, those sorts of things. With a kicker, it's got to be similar. There's, you know, they got to check this guy to see if there's a mechanical flaw that maybe they've missed in reviewing the video. Let somebody take a look at this guy, see if they can figure out what he's doing differently than what he's done throughout his entire NFL career, and see if they can get him back on track. And then if they can't, I think, you know, you got to have a pretty short leash and you may have to move on.
Isn't it a little late for all that? I mean,
we're in the second half of the season.
That stuff we talk about after the Denver game. I mean, aren't we – hasn't that ship sailed a good while ago? I mean, they're already second half of their season.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, they noticed that there were problems with Bo Brinkley, and they didn't hesitate to move on from him, and he'd been here for 9 years. But Gostkowski, there seems to be this – odd loyalty, and I don't know what it is.
I sensed that. I don't know if you did, Terry, but I kind of sensed that he wasn't as protective as Gostkowski this time. I think this is it, honestly. That's the feel I got.
Well, because I think he knows he can't be.
Well, but I think it's just too. I think you could defend him to a large degree up until last night, but there has to be a point where it's a tipping point, and I think we hit it last night. I don't know if that's the feeling you got or not, but
I just can't imagine. I mean, look, how's he going to the next miss? I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse. I mean, it's already out there. I mean, it's already that snowball is huge, rolling down the hill. I mean, what another miss? It just compounds it even more. I mean, you're just going to have the questions are going to get. You know, they're going to get more rapid about it. It's going to be centralized on that and that only, and the fan base is going to be screaming. I mean, you already have a huge problem on your hand, and yet you're going to keep going with this. When, look, you got to be. There's a certain point of this. You say, well, it's admirable that you guys have stuck with him this long. I mean, you could make the case this could have happened a good while ago, but
well, that's
like
true.
Now, like Willie. That's a good, what Willie said. Tipping point is a good way to phrase it. I think it's at its tipping point. I mean, it's just time to move on. It's extra points. It's field goals. There is no trust other than it seems like from the head coach. There is no trust anywhere else from anybody else when number three trots out onto the field, I guess except for his head coach.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think when you look at his body of work here, other than the game in Minnesota where he had the 6 field goals, which granted that's indoors, you know, it's not been good. But I guess the other part of that is too, and this is something that, you know, is on John Robinson and to a lesser extent Mike Vrabel to find out, what are the other options? They signed this Giorgio Tavecchio to the practice squad last week, but, you know, it's been a while since he's kicked in the league. You know, at this juncture in the season, you may be right. They may have waited too late to fix the problem because they could be headed right back down the same path that they were on last year where they went through 4 or 5 kickers trying to find somebody that could make a 40-yard field goal. And now it looks like they're going down the same path with punters and long snappers. So special teams has just been an unmitigated disaster, especially, I mean, pretty much all season, but especially the last 3 weeks.
How could you explain to us how a punter gets beat out in practice on a short week?
That's a good question. You know, that one kind of mystified me. The only thing that I can figure out would be that maybe Trevor Daniels showed them something the week before, but they weren't comfortable with him holding for Gostkowski, so they gave it to Ryan Allen. Now, I think one of the things that maybe they did, or maybe they had thought of and anticipated in this, the Colts have a really good returner. You know, not that the Bears didn't with Cordarrelle Patterson, but the Colts have a pretty solid return game. So maybe they wanted the hang time, Ryan Allen's hang time, even though he averaged 50 yards of punts in that game against the Bears. His hang time, he hit a lot of low-line drives, and maybe they were fearful that, you know, they give up a big return. But the one thing, and I'm not a punting expert by any means, but the one thing that I noticed about Trevor Daniels And I put it out on Twitter, and then there were lots of people that agreed. He seemed to be very slow and very deliberate in his drop, in dropping the ball onto his foot in order to punt. Seemed to be a lot slower than what we've come, you know, become used to seeing from Brett Kern or even opposing punters that come in here over the years. And I think that extra second or so that he's taken to drop the ball is probably part of what's causing, you know, was causing the pressure and caused the one punt to get blocked, and then the one that he shanked was almost blocked as well. So I think that might be part of the problem too, as well as the poor protection up front.
Well, but I think the two go hand in hand, Terry. I think you're making a good point. It's an interesting theory that probably needs to be delved into. I'm sure every team has a stopwatch, just like a base stealer in baseball. There's a coach in the dugout timing the pitcher to home plate, timing the catcher to second base, gauging how fast the runner is, and you make your assessment, can this guy steal the base? I think the quick, good punters, they don't even try to pressure because they know they can't get there. But if the guy is a little slower, then that has the special team coach for the other team saying, we can pressure this guy, we might have a chance to block one. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense. And I think that probably played into it last night, because otherwise, you know, unless there was just a blatant missed block assignment, and there might have been on that.
Yeah, there was, for sure.
You know, but still, you know, you're right. A lot of times you wouldn't even bring him in, you know, and then also the Titans special teams unit, the protection unit, is probably not used. They've had Brett Kern all these years, so they may not be used to having a guy who's slower with his drop time and used to protecting for a second or two longer while he gets the punt off. I think, you know, probably Brett, we probably have no idea if we really delve behind the scenes and into those special teams meetings, we probably have no idea how much Brett Kern has saved them in strife over the years on special teams just because he's so good.
Yeah, they've definitely lost their best special teams player without question. So, Terry, you were going to ask a question about Derrick Henry. We've kidded you. You had some malfunctions technologically, but where were you going with that? It's because we've been tracking Derrick Henry. I found it interesting last night that they got to a point when once they missed the field goal, give up the touchdown, Mike Vrabel basically said, I'm going to live to fight another day. He shut down Derrick Henry at that point. I'm hoping that there wasn't any issue with the shoulder because that was a critical time. They were turning to him when they got the stop. He had three excellent carries. He has to come out on a second and one, and they end up having to punt, and that was the 17-yard punt. So there's a lot of things going on with Derrick Henry. And, of course, in the big picture, we're all tracking to make sure he stays efficient and they don't use him too much. So I know you were thinking along those lines too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think early in the year we were talking about how they were using Derrick Henry too much. He had 25
right.
and 30 carries a game. But the result was they were winning those games. They got off to a 5-0 start. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I guarantee you that, you know, he had a lot more carries over the first 5 weeks. Last year, once this team kicked it into gear after Ryan Tannehill took over at quarterback, and once they got into November and December, they rode Derrick Henry, you know, to the AFC Championship game. He's the guy that was their bread and butter. But it seems like through this little stretch, and granted, they're playing better defenses. The Steelers, the Colts, the Bears are all pretty good defenses. But a lot of what they're doing, I think, is they're getting too far away from their identity. The identity of the offense is that Derrick Henry is the bell cow back. He's the guy that makes everything runs off of. He's got to get his share of the touches. And then the passing game with Ryan Tannehill throwing to A.J. Brown or Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith, that is a side effect of Derrick Henry being an effective guy, getting his share and more than his share of the touches. When Derrick Henry is not out there, that takes away that element. Or when Derrick Henry's not getting his touches and they try to go be more of a pass to set up the run team, I don't think they've been as successful, and I think it's shown over the last three or four games.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, is here with us on Darren, Donick, and Chase. So there was a question that was brought up about problems lingering that we've seen, whether it's on defense or offense or special teams, and Mike Vrabel's answer was, I'm not sure of why they're hanging around. And then you kind of, you know, just keen in on special teams. You know, there's some loyalty issues. Do you think that all of these are kind of related, that maybe Vrabel is – some of these problems are hanging around because he's loyal to a fault, whether it's to a player or to an assistant coach?
Yeah, I think that could be part of it. I think the loyalty goes even further than that, Chase. I think it's loyalty to your system. Sometimes when you have your system, you know, there was the great line by Bum Phillips that back in the day talking about Don Shula, said he can take his and beat yours, and he can take yours and beat his. Sometimes when you don't have the horses, when you know you don't have, like the Titans right now don't have a good secondary, and that's keeping them from doing a lot of the things that was so that have been so effective over the last couple of years, those well-timed blitzes and that aids the pass rush. And you know, because last year, you know, they got as many sacks probably from guys like Jayon Brown and Logan Ryan as they did from their defensive ends and outside linebackers. So, you know, sometimes you have to be able to adjust to the personnel that you have. And right now, this defensive personnel is not good enough, and they're not making enough corrections and staying within what they're doing, or they just don't have the confidence that these guys are going to be able to execute correctly if they were to call what they really wanted to call in some of these situations. So I think it's a kind of a catch-22 situation there.
And I believe that Mike Vrabel is a good coach, don't get me wrong, but we're seeing some things that have kind of reared their ugly head in his tenure that, you know, they go away and then maybe they come back in a different form. And I wonder, he says that they don't have the luxury to be to second guess themselves, that's our job. But at this point, do we trust the people that are making the guess in the first place, what from the head coach all the way down? Or is it time for him to maybe have some tough conversations and make some tough decisions to get the right people in there?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think when he says that, you know, there's not really, you know, in the business of second guessing, I think that's what film study and all is for. Not only to make corrections, but it's to say, okay, in this situation, what if we had run the ball instead of thrown it? Or what if we called this play? Or what if we blitzed here? Those are the types of things I think, you know, just from my untrained eye, that I would think that as a coaching staff that you would want to, you know, kind of store away as part of your corrections, because you're going to see this team again in 2 weeks, you know, with the Colts. So if they break out the same formation, you got to have a little something different for them, and, you know, something that you may think will work better than what you called the first time. So to me, there's, you know, I agree with you. I think Mike Vrabel is a good coach. I think he's a smart guy. In terms of the way he's doing things, it makes me really think that he should have given somebody the defensive coordinator's hat so that he could just have the head coach's hat and maybe not spread himself so thin.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, joining us here on the show. Terry, appreciate it as always. Good luck with technology.
Well, thank you, Chase. I appreciate that.
And anytime you need help, let me know.
I will do that.
I was going to say, Chase is a good technology coach, so call Chase, Terry. I've called him on him before.
I've helped the show as a whole with that. We'll see you, Terry.
All right, thanks.
We'll have more coming on the Titans and the Colts, that game last night, plus a Masters update. But right now, it is my time to tell you about the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM. They are here to help you make big plays. They're celebrating their arrival in Tennessee by inviting new customers to get a piece of the action with an instant deposit match up to $500. Sign up today and get your first deposit instantly doubled with up to $500 in free bets. Then get ready to turn big plays into paydays with the most innovative parlay tools available, plus boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. They have same game parlays now that are really cool that you can check out. You can light up your screen with the same people that light up the Las Vegas Strip with their most popular sports books and casinos. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com to get your first deposit matched with up to $500 in free bets. If it's game day in Tennessee, it's showtime at BetMGM, official sports betting partner of the Tennessee Titans. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. You must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Becker and Darren, Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth. Let's head down to Augusta National. Augusta, Georgia, to be exact. Day two of the Masters. Let's get you a leaderboard update.
Hello, friends. Day two of the Masters going into the weekend. So far, Dustin Johnson, our leader, with 8 under through 7 holes. He's 1 under today. Followed closely by Justin Thomas, who is tied for second at 7 under. Sung J.M., 22-year-old South Korean native, at 7 under as well. Paul Casey has yet to tee off. He will tee off at 1:19 Eastern, 12:19 local, at 7 under as well, tied for second. Webb Simpson still at -5 from yesterday. Phil Mickelson at 4 under, tied for 13th, along with Brooks Koepka. Sorry, got choked up being so excited for Phil. Lee Westwood at 4 under as well. Other notable names, Tiger Woods at 4 under. That is good enough to be tied for 13. Other notable names, we'll see Ricky Fowler at 3 under. And then our man, Jazz, Jane Wataninon, also at 3 under, along yes. with John Rahm and Tony Finau, some other big names at 3 under as well. They have yet to tee off. Our man Jazz will tee off at 12:46, John Rahm at 1:09, and Tony Finau at 1:19. And that is your Masters update.
Where's our man Kokrak?
Oh, he is. He must have had a rough back nine yesterday.
He's -1.
-1? Okay, there he is. Yeah, it's a log jam.
He hasn't teed off yet today. Yeah. He's -1.
He's Bryson only one stroke back behind our man, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, are you positive it's Jazz or is the J silent? Are you sure it's not
Yaz?
Yeah.
Like or a Yon? Soft J?
Yeah, soft J, Yaz.
I'm
are you positive it's Jazz?
I very well could be wrong. I hope it's Jazz.
I'm just asking the question. I don't know.
Jazz is the nickname, though, so I would assume that it is.
Okay.
I did look up his full name yesterday, and Jazz was the nickname.
Okay.
How he earned it, I don't know, but.
Brent Snedeker also at 1 under. We'll tee off later today.
Well, man, Cantlay still in the thick of things. He's right there.
And Rory McIlroy at 2 over under the cut line right now, which is looking right to be about even par.
What's our gut feeling on will anything happen from now until the game against Baltimore? And it's going to happen soon, right? I'm not talking about next week. I mean, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen today or over the weekend with shuffling or making moves. Gut feeling right now, are they going to make some moves?
How many are we talking? I think he's going to make a move with the kicker.
I'm with you. I feel the same way. I just think it's reached the point of no return. I mean, you just can't keep doing this.
Right.
I mean, you just can't. It's passed. He's the worst kicker in the league, and you've got to try something else. Yeah, they went through this last year, and it was a disaster. But at this point, you haven't done that. You've just stayed with it, trying to work through it, and it hasn't worked. How do you explain he's good from 50 and beyond, but anything inside that, it's a total crapshoot? I don't know how you explain that. But I just know that it's a huge
Mike
problem.
Mike Vrabel didn't either.
yeah, he didn't, or he's just not saying it. No, I don't think you anybody can really explain.
Right, I actually think he really didn't know how to explain.
But
that
I just think it's you got to try something else. It's admirable that you've waited, you've gone this long. Clearly, this is about a relationship there between the head coach and this kicker. I understand that. You know, that happens in this league and sports all the time. You know, life is about relationships. So I understand that. They have clearly a very close relationship and a mutual respect for each other, and that's fine. And, you know, we've been okay with him continuing down this path, even though the misses continue to mount. I think once you get to this point, you've missed 8 times and you're halfway through a season. It's time to try something else. Like, this is a results business, and the results are not good enough, and so you've got to try something else.
Yeah, I think the one for me, and I'm typically not the, oh, fire the coach, you know, type. Now, maybe with a certain coach at the University of Tennessee I've been a little rough on. But I don't see how Craig Aukerman can stay the special teams coach, because the entire – it's not just the kicking, and that – you can almost put in its own little category, because those are, you know, that is Gostkowski's problem. But the special team unit as a whole, it's just not working. They are not playing the way that they should be playing, and that's coaching. And if Mike Vrabel is going to continue to get up there and say, have to play better, have to coach better, well, you have to hold both sides accountable. And the special teams coach, as we said earlier, it was a very simple answer, is paid to coach special teams. And it's not good enough right now. So
it's more than not good enough. It's just simply a disaster. I mean, it's not about not being good enough. It's a disaster. It's a full-blown disaster.
And so I believe a change is needed. It's time for Craig Aukerman to not be the special teams coach anymore, in my opinion.
Look, however this plays out, it is abundantly clear. I don't know if you guys agree with this or not. It is abundantly clear there are certain things that are going on that are just not working. And it can't continue. It may not change this year, but it can't continue through the off season. The head coach being the DC is just not working. It's just not. They're going to have to address that. They're going to have to put somebody in charge of the defensive coordinator. Somebody's going to have to be a defensive coordinator. And the other one is the special teams. It's just not working. This is not a first-year coach. I mean, he's been on staff for years, right?
He's been there 4 years.
4 years, right.
Yep.
I think he's been
the
special teams coach.
Mike Vrabel.
I think he's been the special – but I think he's been the special teams coach since Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, he was, and I can't remember if it was Malarkey or Vrabel that made the change. He was the assistant special teams coach his first year there, and I think it was Malarkey made a change, and then he became the special teams coach. And I think it was Malarkey. It may have been Vrabel, but he started as an assistant under Malarkey.
And it's just not good enough. It's not even – it's more than not good enough. It's just a full-blown disaster. It really is, and a lot of that. I mean, there's breakdowns constantly. This team has too many bad snaps, too many extra points blocked, too many punts blocked. I mean, more than one is too many at this level. It's just not good. Big returns. Special teams is just simply a failure. It's an F. It is a failure. It is, and it's now costing this team games. In a matter of a minute and a half, this game, even though it was probably tilting that way, and they got bailed out early on in the second half with some big stops. The defense came up with 2 big stops at the goal line. But it was tilting toward Indianapolis. You could feel this coming. We've seen it before. I mean, Lord knows we all know that Indianapolis owns this team, owns them. And you could feel that it was all tilting in the second half. And then in a matter of a minute and a half, 2 minutes, it was gone. Like, the game was gone. You went from a lead to it was over. And everybody knew it.
Well, that
and
was,
everybody knew they weren't going to get it back.
Well, that's what is meant by when you hear Mike Vrabel constantly talking about complimentary football, is when you take the lead up to the special teams meltdown, the Colts had the ball for 28 consecutive plays 10 minutes and 31 seconds of time where the Titans offense doesn't touch the field. And when you throw halftime in there, I would estimate it was about an hour of real time where your best unit doesn't get on the field. So that was certainly setting the table. But then when you, on top of that, have the catastrophic special teams, you just can't beat a good team. That's just a recipe for losing. And so what's interesting about this whole discussion, because there was a lot that's still raw from last night, and there's a lot of problems, and yet they are still 6-3. Like, you would think when you're talking about firing the special teams coach and thinking about what do you do about the defense, you're almost out of options. You think your record would be closer to 3-6 or 4-5. So the luxury they have is that they can make these decisions knowing they're still very much in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah, but they're 1-3 in their last four.
Yeah, The Jets and the FTs are not the next two games. Your next two games are the Ravens and this very team you just lost to last night.
Well, yeah, that's been the case from the start.
So what's the record going to be after those? Just what do you think it's going to be? What do you think is – what would you take right now and sign up for? What would you sign right now before they even play it?
Split.
Well, yeah, if they split the next two, they're in great shape, honestly, to make the playoffs. I don't know about winning the division, but when you consider that only one team is going to get a bye anyway, I still think they're tracking to get to the postseason. I think a big question that was part of the press conference, which I thought was a good one, is, you know, why hasn't, and this is one that Mike Vrabel, I thought, actually did try to take the time to answer and didn't brush off. Why hasn't the group gotten better? I think he really takes that to heart. He takes a lot of pride in his team improving as the season goes along. We've seen that in the last two seasons. They played their best football down the stretch. And it really hasn't come together at all in those areas. And I think to some point he doesn't have the answer, right? I think he's thought about it a lot. He's tried things, but he hasn't come up with the solution. And that's a tough feeling, I think, as a coach. But again, his team's still right in there. Because they don't have to apologize for starting 5-0. They can come out of this. There's a ton of football left to be played. And so let's see what moves that they make. I do think changing the kicker has got to be in the cards. Whether you want to go to the next extreme and just having somebody else run the special teams probably is worth considering. But there comes a point where you can't do too much at once, because then you're overhauling everything and your record is 6-3.
But you already set that precedent a week ago. But you did. You weren't afraid to do it. That's what we're trying to figure out. What's the cutoff?
Like, yeah, they made 12 roster moves.
I mean, you made 12 roster moves. What? I mean, you made 12 roster moves. It was hard to keep up. So if you're willing to do that, what is the cutoff?
Yeah.
Well, there's changing personnel, and then there's changing coaches.
Well, yeah, but you've set the precedent. So coaches, is that the message? That's why I asked the question, Terry. Is the message it's the players are accountable, but the coaches are not?
Well, some of the personnel is out of necessity with injuries, right? That is going to be a certain amount, and you're probably going to have some COVID things that force you to adjust your roster between now and the end of the season.
I know the head coach is not going to remove himself as the DC in the midstream.
I respect him if he did.
Well, but I mean, it seems very clear if that's the case, Willie, then you're only talking to players when you say that. You're not talking to yourself and to the staff when you say we have to coach better. You don't really mean it, because the same problems we've talked about over and over. This is not overblown, because we've talked about it all year. Nothing's changed. We're not talking about it just after a loss. Like, all the stuff that we laid out in that first segment, and I get it, we were kind of all saying the same thing, but we were on different pages, but not really. Because when you say, when it can't be up to just the offense, well, but that's, it's been up to the offense all season long. Like, that, nothing changed after last night, and it's not going to change moving forward. like the defense is not going to get fixed. This is what the defense is. They have to work around their deficiencies. They have to work around what they're unable to do. Special teams is not going to change this season. They're going to have to work around
I think
that.
And I the think only the thing special that teams can change.
The only thing that has been consistent all year has been the offense, and now the last 3 weeks, it just hasn't been consistent to the level that it was prior to the last three games.
Right, because they played three of the best defenses in the league, and they're going to face two more, the same one they faced last night, plus the Ravens, which are they're a top five defense. So it's going to be hard for them to win that way, right? To win against teams that have that good of a defense, they have to make it up in special teams and defense. It's just got to be better. And the special teams, to me, is the one that should be easiest fixed. I think you could fix special teams easier than you can fix a defense or an offense during the course of the season. Just my theory.
If that were the case, then why hasn't? I mean, they're nine games in.
That I think is when you have you have a long week here, you have a chance to make some changes here. I think if you want to,
they've had chances though.
My game just got postponed.
Uh oh.
Yep, Troy, Coastal Carolina, postponed. There's my underdog pick. Okay, I'll have to adjust that. Yeah, I just. If that's the one, and I'm not saying the answer is wrong, I don't know what's.
You picked South Carolina against Ole Miss.
Oh, you're right. I didn't take Troy. Did
yeah,
I
it was yeah. like, what are you
talking okay.
about?
Like,
what
oh,
are you
okay. talking it about? Was okay. Sorry, it was between that. It was between Troy and South Carolina. Okay, I took South Carolina. All right, I was heavily considering Troy. That's
like,
why
damn,
I had
you've
that
lost
on my
your
brain.
Marbles.
Well, I had that on my brain because I remember definitely it was between those two.
Darren, we've discussed this. Blue note after the show, not during the show.
No! Days like today, I need a bottle of that. But I don't have a bottle of Blue Note, so I can't do that, Chase.
Ah, can fix that after the show.
You know, the major golf tournament is underway, as we know. It's day two. In fact, we'll get you another update before we're out of here this hour, along with a lot of pro and college football. Yeah, games are getting postponed or canceled, but there's still a full slate of action. And there will be no shortage of that the rest of the way through the weekend. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, wants to put you in the center of it all. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users are covered up to $100. That's right, you bet. They cover you risk-free on your Sunday betting on all the Sunday's action. And DraftKings will have a special promotions and odds boost, plural, every day of this year's tournament in Augusta, Georgia. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, they will ensure your Sunday bets up to $100. That code again, 1025GAME, during your sign-up process for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Risk-free coverage paid out in site credits. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, they need help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. You just made the list coming up at high noon. Who or what is on your list? We've got a prize attached to that. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, to kick off the final hour. Followed by pick six. A lot more coming here on Darren Donick and Chase. Right now, I'm going to turn things over to Elijah Campbell, who's standing by at our master's desk.
Hello, friends. Back from Augusta, Georgia, spiritually, not physically. This Masters Leaderboard update is brought to you by Music City Golf in Belle Meade, home of all of your golfing needs. Well, we had a leader last time we checked in with me, and now we have a tie, a three-way tie. For first between Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, and Sung J.M. at 8 under par. All those guys are 9 holes, 8 holes, and 6 holes through, respectively. Paul Casey at 4th, 7 under. He will not tee off for another couple hours. Former Vanderbilt golfer, John Augenstein. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yep, Augenstein.
Yeah, John Augenstein, amateur, tied for 5th right now at 6 under. He's through 12 today. Shot 69 yesterday and is at 3 under for the day. So a good solid day for him. Patrick Cantlay at 5 under. Webb Simpson at 5-under. Ricky Fowler is at 4-under through 12, which is good to be tied enough, or good enough to be tied for 13th. Tiger Woods yet to tee off today, still at 4-under par. And
you like jazz?
Yes, we do. And our man Jazz, Jane Watanenon, has yet to tee off as well. Just a reminder, he is at 3-under, along with John Rahm and Tony Finau. And like I said earlier, the cut line is projected to be about 1-under par. Some notable names under the cut line as we move into moving day tomorrow. Bubba Watson at 1-over. And Shane Lowry, 2-over. Jordan Spieth at 2-over. And Rory McIlroy, still underneath as well. Ian Poulter as well at even par. And that is your Masters update, brought to you by Music City Golf and Bell Mead, home of all of your golfing needs.
Did you say Jordan Spieth?
Jordan Spieth, yep.
Yeah,
he's 2-over par.
2-over. Yikes.
Yeah, he's had a rough day so far. Apparently, Rory McIlroy has as well.
We will have a Masters question in our pick six that will be fun. Will be fun. Have you guys seen this? A couple things to hit on. Have you guys seen where there is a story out there, and it is in the Knoxville News Sentinel?
Blake Topmeyer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Blake Topmeyer, 8 Tennessee football assistants rejected pay cuts that were proposed.
I saw a tweet on that briefly.
The Vols athletic department.
Bad look.
Ooh.
That's bad.
Bad look.
Jim Chaney declined a pay cut. That's the OC. The DC, Derek Ansley, he refused. Offensive line coach, quarterbacks coach Chris Winkie, inside linebackers coach Niedermeyer, outside linebackers coach, tight ends coach, strength and conditioning coach.
And the head coach got a raise.
And let's say.
And the head coach got a raise.
And we should also point out that there were some coaches that did take the pay cuts, among them T. Martin and Jay Graham. So admirable that they would do that. I can't think of a more selfish thing to do. I think all those guys, now I don't know what the inside linebackers coach makes or the outside linebackers coach, but I think these days we can reasonably say you make a pretty good living when you're an SEC assistant coach, some better than others. But I don't know what they were. Were they thrown at half a pay cut? What was the percentage pay cut? Now maybe that needs to be asked. But tons and tons of people have been asked to take pay cuts, and without even hesitating, said yes. Of course, millions of people have lost their jobs. If this is going to help keep people employed, you raise your hand and you say, absolutely, I'll do it.
Well, some people
most cases,
it.
As I say, most Jim, cases,
you're telling
you don't
me
really
Jim
get
Chaney,
a choice.
Jim it Chaney, the highest paid offensive coordinator, can't take a pay cut in a pandemic to help other people? That's
bad.
A bad look.
It's bad. It just, and they continue with these, honestly,
40 million
simple
loss.
Decisions.
They're going to lose $40 million bucks in revenue.
They're going to lose $40 million this year. Yeah. And that was, by the way, just that those reductions were just going to count $1.6 million. It was just they're trying to find ways, to make all this work when you're going to lose $40 million. And that was just going to count for 1.6. And those 8 coaches declined.
Listen, I'm not a math expert by any means, but I do know that basic economics tell you that if you're hemorrhaging money, if you're losing money, however you want to put it, and you don't stop the bleeding, and they've asked these guys that make a lot to do that and to take a pay cut, and they don't, it means there are going to be people that work in that athletic department or programs that are going to pay the price because they're not willing to make that sacrifice. And it continues to be just an awful look for the university. Just unbelievable that they would, this doesn't even have anything to do with the product on the field. Doesn't help matters that they're losing. Now, people go, oh, really? Okay. So you have a horrible product and you can't help out by taking a pay cut during a pandemic. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm dumbfounded by that. I'm stunned.
I'm disappointed in Philip Fulmer, if I'm being honest.
I got to be honest. The next time he talks, there's going to be probably some pretty – well, I don't know. I don't know how it works in Knoxville. Do they ask questions? You know, I would suspect that he would get some tough questions directed his way.
I would hope so.
Don't you think?
It's on his watch.
I mean, he's doled out an extension and a raise to the head coach, and 8 assistants refused to take pay cuts.
Right. And I'm sure he, you know, not him, but I'm sure somebody's going to say, well, you know, that's not the full report. It was taken out of context. I don't know how you can backpedal.
Well, how do you feel if you're T. Martin or Jay Graham, who willfully said, yeah, they didn't have to do it, but they did it. And they're trying to do the right thing. And then all of these guys, your coworkers won't do it?
Well, okay, now here is, they didn't put a name, but here's an interesting question on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. They said, I wouldn't take a pay cut if they're also giving out raises. So do you think that maybe that's it, that they see the head coach gets one? Now, I'm not saying, you know, this is a two wrongs don't make a right thing, in my opinion, but do you think that that could be a part of it? They see, well, the head coach got a raise. Why should I have to take a pay cut to pay for his raise?
Well, that's
Pruitt
on the
was
AD.
Not asked to take a pay cut because he did not. This is according to the story from Knoxville News Sentinel. Pruitt was not asked to take a pay cut because he did not accept a raise for the 2020 contract year as part of a contract extension he signed in September. So the athletic department considered that to be Pruitt's contribution to the plan. So Pruitt's raise kicks in 2021.
Yeah, well.
Still.
That doesn't make it look any better.
I agree.
I think it's incredibly weak, actually.
We questioned it from the get-go. It just is not the right time. And this is before they played any games. It was not the right time. And, boy, does that scream even louder right now?
But regardless of, hey, the head coach didn't, so why should I? I get that. But let's look at the big picture. You know, at the time, you had how many people laid off? How many people getting assistance, trying to get by? And you're one of the lucky people that still has your job, and you know you're going to have your job going into a season. I just cannot comprehend how that many people would do that.
All right, we will come back with You Just Made the List to start the third hour of the program. I want to tell you quickly about Blue Note Juke Joint. It's a small batch bourbon that's crafted right here in our state, Memphis, Tennessee, to be exact. Yeah, they're proud of that. And Blue Note Juke Joint is artfully crafted in honor of the blues. That's important to them. Also, it's smoother than smooth. You hear me talk about that. You should try it. You'll find out for yourself. It's unfiltered at 93 proof. Blue Note Juke Joint is available all over Middle Tennessee and the entire state. So you need to look into that and try it for yourself. Blue Note Bourbon family includes Blue Note Juke Joint that you hear me talking about and the Blue Note Premium Small Batch, a 9-year bourbon that I've not tried yet, and I would like to get my hands on that. But you should. You can follow them on Instagram at Blue Note Bourbon and on Facebook, same deal. Don't forget, with the holidays just around the corner, you're looking for a special gift for that bourbon lover in your friend circle, family circle. Now is the time. Go find them some Blue Note single barrel selections in our area right here in Middle Tennessee. Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth.